Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're carrying the G and have it. Hope you had a great weekend. I know I did. Phenomenal time. Great to be in Indy for the combine, but always great to get home. Good to be back chatting with you fine folks from the confines of the Cheesehead TV New York studio, which is a room in my apartment. Always great to be with you all. A few odds and ends when it comes to the Green Bay Packers today. Some headlines made, some news, some rumors, what have you. First and foremost, obviously the title of the video, Darius Slay released by the Eagles. I did put maybe on Twitter, but only because there is a very, very outside chance that Brian Gutekunst gets involved there. I'd be absolutely shocked if it actually materializes. Clearly, this is a player at the end of his tenure, so to speak, in the NFL. I know he's indicated he wants to play one more year. I don't think he's going to finish his career in Green Bay. I think there's a very decent chance he ends up going back to Detroit. But it would also just kind of go against the grain as far as what Gutekunst has talked about and said point blank at his season-ending press conference about utilizing free agency and not wanting guys at the end of the line of their career. I think the guy can clearly still play, very effective, still able to do everything you need at the position to be part of a high-level defense. I just don't think it's within the parameters that the Packers are trying to work out of when it comes to building their roster. I think, as Rob Domofsky indicated last Friday, the Packers will be active in free agency. I think DJ Reed is a much more likely candidate and or target for the green and gold than Darius Slay would be. Again, that's no slight on Slay. I think he can still play. And I think, again, he will be part of a good defense wherever he ends up. But I wouldn't expect that to be in Green Bay. The other headline, obviously, today is the Packers, per ESPN, re-signing Isaiah McDuffie, linebacker, to a two-year contract. This is a guy who's obviously played a ton of ball for Green Bay, both under Jeff Hafley and obviously under Joe Barry. The Hafley familiarity clearly playing a role here, and his youth. When you pair him with Eric Wilson, another backer set to hit free agency, Wilson will be 31 during this season, whereas McDuffie sitting there at 25 years old. Again, played a lot of ball for the Packers, knows the scheme, knows what's being asked of him each and every way as far as any position he might be thrown into, whether it is playing the inside, playing the strong, playing the will. He played a ton of will for them this past year, and they'd have to get kicked out to the strong side at times. He's just a guy that you can plug and play no matter what happens regarding injuries, because you do have to suspect Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper will get the bulk of the snaps at both inside backer spots. I say both. I know it's a 4-3, but in this world of the NFL that we live in today, it is very much a nickel league, and you are almost always, certainly more often than not, playing two linebackers at a time. Those will mostly be Quay Walker and Edrin Cooper. Not to say that there won't be certain opponents in certain times where you will see three backers on the field, maybe even four, depending on the down and distance and opponent, and et cetera. I am fascinated to see how Tyron Hopper comes along in this regard, because he is clearly in that mix. They have four linebackers on the roster at the moment. Hopper, a former third-round pick last year, who just never really got on the field his rookie year. And that doesn't mean that he couldn't become a valuable asset in year two. Packers have to be hoping he is. But the McDuffie signing certainly solidifies that position for the time being. There will undoubtedly be additions there. I don't think this precludes them either bringing Wilson back or even drafting someone on day three in April's draft. But what it does do is keep options open for Gutekunst. It is something we talk about a lot here in the lead up to the draft. One of the things you can set your watch by year after year is Gutekunst and the Packers making sure that they're not boxed in by need entering draft weekend, and making sure that if they get in and out of draft weekend without being able to address one position or the other, they can still operate at a high level without additions. And that's, not the whole reason for this move, but it's part of it, certainly. And again, they like the player. It's not cost prohibitive, $4 million per year, essentially, with a, I believe, a $1 million escalator for playtime. that could push this deal to the $9 million range. We'll see how that lays out cap-wise once we get a look at the actual contract. But this makes all the sense in the world to me. Something else that makes all the sense in the world to me is speaking to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Good to see everyone mixing it up already in the chat. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, let me remind you, dropping on April 2nd, the Cheesehead TV draft guide for the 15th year in a row. What the heck? Where does time go? April 2nd, mark your calendar, circle it now, because it will be available. And then you can consume it for the month of April, leading up to the draft on April 24th in Green Bay. As I say each and every year, it's one of, if not the best piece of content that Cheesehead TV creates each and every season, mostly because I am minimally involved. Do it, folks. Be ready. Get ready. The Cheesehead TV draft guide coming April 2nd. What's going on, folks? Good to see everyone mixing it up. Joe, starting us off with a super chat. How are you doing, man? Does Gary need to play more to have more impact? 53%/59% of snaps the last 2 years. Guys like TJ Watt, Max Crosby, and Myles Garrett play 80%+ of snaps. I remember this coming up two seasons ago. And Joe, thank you for the question. When the Packers played the Raiders, because Crosby was on the field, I think every defensive snap of that contest, could it help him make more of an impact? I have to suspect yes. Now I do understand the idea of sending waves of guys at quarterbacks or at opposing offenses, but I am of the opinion that you paid Rashawn Gary what you did because he is a premier player in the league. He's your leading light when it comes to the pass rush. I would want him on the field, but for whatever reason, the Packers have been. And to your point, this is the last two seasons, so it's under both coordinators, where he has been subbed in and out pretty generously. I do think it's something that Gutekunst and more likely LaFleur and probably Hafley will be asked about this training camp, because it is something that I think we've seen kind of play out both on the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball. When we've talked about the wide receiver group and the need to maybe solidify playing time around a number of guys rather than rotating in and out so many different kind of guys at different positions, I got to think there's something to that. I don't think there's a tried and true answer there. I don't think there's a definitive answer if you're looking for an analytics kind of take on it or whatever. But I do think, yeah, Gary is one of your premier players. He should be playing the majority of the snaps. I mean, they have no qualms about sending Kenny Clark out there 80% of the time. I would hope that Gary could get out there. Now, maybe, and this is grasping at straws, maybe there's something to the play time they wanted him on last year coming off first full season after the ACL. Maybe. But again, that's just a Hail Mary guesswork thing. So I'm with you, man. I do think he needs to be out there more. And again, I do suspect that's something that the coaching staff will be asked about. No doubt this summer. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Who creates your Go Pack Go paintings? Nice. Well, thank you, brother. Spencer, who you no doubt have seen Forever Young Designs. He works on the Packers fence each and every year there across from Lambeau Field. We had him on our draft stream last April. He did a magnificent mural and painting honoring the NFL draft coming to Green Bay. These are actually panels that were in the old office / podcast room at the studios on the west side in Manhattan. But now that LiveX has moved on from that space, I took a number of the panels myself and brought them here to my apartment, and now I'm utilizing them in my studio. But Spencer is an amazing artist. I'll shoot out his information at some point. In fact, hold on. Give me 2 seconds. We're live, right?
Hold on. Spencer Young.
Here we go. Yeah, there we go. I'm going to put his Instagram in the chat here so you guys can all check him out because he does great work. And yeah, when we first moved into that space, Corey flew him out to do these and do the whole studio. He just does great stuff. Highly recommend. I know he's also done designs for a couple of different players' cleats. The guy's amazing. Make sure you check out his work. Soder. My God, you finally hung the artwork. Sir, this was hung the Friday before I left for the combine. Thank you for catching up. Good stuff. Donnie, a very viable question. Do you think we'll sign a veteran receiver in free agency or just draft pick someone? Who's your realistic free agent you think that we'd actually acquire? The problem is most of the realistic stuff is probably not in line with what they need. I do think there's a chance, although it's an outside chance, that they have a conversation with Devontae Adams once he's cut by the Jets. Yes, I think he will be cut. I don't think anyone's trading for him. But I do, again, think that's a bit of an outside chance. I think the Iowa State kid, Higgins, is your best bet in the second round of the draft. I think he will undoubtedly be on the Packers' radar. The problem is there are a number of teams that will probably be interested in him. And as I talked about with Paul Bredel earlier today on the channel, make sure you check that video out. Where the Packers lie in the draft order is not going to do them any favors this year, because in a draft that has a wide receiver class that is not deep, it is not as talent rich as past year's classes where we've had tons of talent on offer at the wide receiver position. This draft is not quite as plentiful, and the Packers, in the draft order, they're behind a number of teams that are also in the market for wide receivers, whether it's the Steelers, the Chargers, the Broncos. There are a number of teams that are going to be picking ahead of them. So obviously there's an opportunity or a chance that Brian jumps up in front of those teams and try and get someone, i.e. Higgins, but it's going to be a tricky one. It's going to be a tricky one this offseason, because again, on the free agency side of things, I mean, maybe Godwin. And I do think, Tampa won't be able to franchise tag him. In fact, I believe the deadline is tomorrow, but they're not going to be able to franchise tag him because it would be the third one and he'd have something like a 140% raise or some nonsense like that. So I do think he will be hitting the market and maybe they have the opportunity to sign him. But that's, an outside chance. J. Cole says he really likes Higgins. Higgins is going to get franchise tagged. In fact, I think he got franchise tagged officially this afternoon. Now, outside of a tag and trade possibility, which feels remote, I think he's going to be staying in Cincinnati. Mike Witt, how are you, man? I need a Banky rant. Transplant soon? Yeah, we've been talking about it. I know Corey's been dealing with a whole lot of stuff on his end when it comes to LiveX and or preparing for the NFL draft to be in Green Bay. LiveX is doing a lot of work with a lot of different groups, a lot of different companies. Cheesehead TV is working on lots of different partnerships with lots of different groups around the NFL draft. So we've been juggling a lot and dealing with a lot. Then me going to the Super Bowl and then the combine. We just haven't had a moment, but we will certainly be having a transplants prior to the draft. That will happen. And without question, I am sure you will get a Banky rant. Jay, I love Golden. He says him or Matthew Golden. I love Golden. Absolutely think he would be a perfect number, essentially walking into being a number one type in Green Bay. I'll be shocked if he's there at 23, especially after the combine, especially after his testing. I think that ship probably sailed. Now, again, maybe Gutekunst falls in love. Maybe he thinks he's the answer to all the riddles and jumps up, makes a dramatic move to grab him. I'm not holding my breath, but I love Matthew Golden, and I think he would be absolutely perfect in Green Bay. Jeremy, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Hey, Nags, how you doing, man? Do you think Green Bay will land a couple big-name free agents? I mean, it all, your mileage may vary. Depends on how big you think their name is. As far as do I think they'll be going down the kind of road they went down last year, especially on day one, I don't think it's going to be as kind of crazy as we saw that first kind of 48 hours of free agency last year. I do think they're obviously going to be in the market for a number of different positions. That doesn't necessarily mean they'll be able to land every target. I do think, though, there's a more than decent chance that they are going to add one or two names in free agency. I mean, again, your mileage may vary. If you think Ojulari from the Giants is a name, then maybe. But I don't think that's a name that moves the needle for a lot of Packers fans. But yeah, they will be active. I'll say that. I'm willing to say they'll be active. Green Ranger, I miss Corey's rants. We all miss Corey's rants. Dennis, thanks, man. Thanks for the follow-up. Any news on the DK Metcalf front? Only that nothing has happened, and I know there was a report from a Patriots reporter today because the Patriots had also been linked in the article that dropped last Friday to DK Metcalf. The Patriots reporter from The Athletic stating that there has been, through his contacts and sources, there have been absolutely no conversations from the New England side when it comes to trying to acquire DK Metcalf, which is kind of what we got from Matt Schneidman on Friday in regards to the Packers side of things. So we'll see. I don't ever want to kind of completely dismiss these reports and things that, look, I'm someone who, you know, threw it out there for the masses years ago that they were trying to acquire someone, and everyone called me, or everyone, I remember from the Vegas Raiders, the fans, YouTubers, whatever, called me a liar, said I was making things up. And then a year later, Adam Schefter essentially confirmed what I had said. So I don't ever want to completely dismiss something where maybe it's somebody I'm not familiar with. I'm not familiar with their outlet, etc. But man, who knows, right? Who knows? That's part of media literacy in 2025. You have to build trust with whoever it is you follow, whoever you choose to kind of consume your content from. I'm not familiar with the person who reported the DK Metcalf stuff. I am very familiar with Matt Schneidman. So I tend to side with Matt, but I'm sure there may be some gray area there that exists. So long answer short, there has been no new developments when it comes to a possible DK Metcalf acquisition. And also that said, I've also heard from two different people who aren't connected to either team, but do work in the league circles, that the Seahawks have no plans of doing anything with DK Metcalf other than having him play for them on the final year of his deal. So take that as it is. What else we got, folks? Yeah, Jay, a first and a young player is a lot for DK. It would be, you could knock me over with a feather if the Packers did something even close to along those lines. Nick, excellent question. Hey, Nags, what position do you think is the Packers' biggest need? Defensive line? I do. I think the whole key to this Packers offseason is about unlocking their pass rush and being able to do so by not having to call some simulated pressures, exotic blitzes, anything that requires bodies and or subterfuge. They need to be able to find a front or a combo of people up front that can exert their will and get to the quarterback, not having to utilize more than four guys. And that's something you've heard a lot this offseason. Brian talked a lot about it when we talked to him last week. It's kind of been the recurring theme of the offseason because the Eagles were so successful being able to rush only four, get home, and play a bunch of different coverages behind it. And I think I talked about this either last week or a couple weeks ago here on Daily. This is not a new concept. Everyone's known this in the NFL forever. I mean, you go back to Tampa's days with Warren Sapp. They were so dominant on defense because they could rush with four and play a ton of different coverages behind them. The Giants ruined the Patriots' perfect season because they could rush with four and play with a bunch of different concepts behind them. You know, this is not new stuff, but it does seem like each and every kind of like generational cycle, I guess maybe some fans and seems like some NFL people have to kind of relearn it, you know? But certainly, that is, to me, the A number one glaring need. And I've said this a lot. It's not necessarily edge, though I think edge gets the priority because it's a premier spot. But, man, they need help collapsing the pocket, destroying quarterbacks from either the edge or inside along the interior. Wherever and however they can improve in that kind of spot along the defense, they have to do it. That is A number one priority because it makes not only Jeff Hafley's life a lot easier, but it makes the life easier for everyone behind them, from the linebacker spots to the safeties to the corners. There's no doubt that you want talent at those positions. You keep adding, keep developing, no question about it. But you've got to be able to compete up front. And there's no greater moment that points that out this past year. And there were plenty of them, but no more crystallized kind of presentation of how the Packers desperately need to improve there than that first touchdown pass from Jalen Hurts in the playoff game, where he had, I believe it was just over 7 seconds. I mean, it's an eternity if you have 4 seconds in the NFL to get the football out of your hands as an NFL quarterback. And he had 7 seconds to sit back there, make lunch, read a book, possibly scroll Twitter, maybe check on his laundry, get back, take a nap, get up, and then find the dude in the end zone and throw a touchdown pass. There is zero question that, in my mind, is their biggest need. Jay, you're not incorrect. Regarding the MVS idea, he barely made the Bills 53-man roster last season. That was shortly into the season. And this was a team that was starving for receiver help. No question about it, Jay. And then he went to the Saints, who don't even have a quarterback. They were throwing bodies at that position and was productive week in and week out. Not only that, but is a baller when it comes to blocking on the edge, which, as we've seen, Packers are very much a run-first outfit at this point. I'm not saying he's an answer. I'm not saying he solves anything. But for what he most likely will cost, comparative to so many of the other options on offer, he makes a world of sense in Green Bay. Most likely, he's not going to cost a whole lot. He's going to come in knowing the offense, and you're going to be able to plug and play. And he gives you the aspect that they don't have without Christian Watson, as far as being able to spread the field. Don't ask, don't tell, don't give me what he can't do. Tell me what he can do. I understand people love to like get down on guys, and I'm not saying you're specifically doing that, but there is upside there in an MVS signing in Green Bay in particular. I'm not saying, again, not saying it's the answer. I'm just saying at the right price, which he most likely would come at, he could help. What else we got here, folks? I think I missed some super chats. Let's get to them. Menace, what's going on, man? Bukowski has been screaming from the rooftops about Ja for Tay swap for weeks. And as someone who wants Tay, I don't get it. I disagree with him on everything, but I really don't get this one at all. I mean, I'm sure he's got plenty of reasoning behind it. I don't see it. I just think Devontae, who certainly will most likely be hoping that he gets cut and has his pick in free agency, I think he would drive a harder bargain if he was forced to deal with a trade. I do not doubt for a moment that, and by driving a harder bargain, I mean just playing hard, like hardball. Like, I'm not going to report. I don't want to, you know, show up to training camp, etc. The thing with the Ja, the idea of trading Ja, I just can't imagine, especially a new regime, wanting to take on an oft-injured player who is entering the back half of his career, who does seemingly have some kind of issue behind the scenes, which I'm sure they would talk to the Packers about that. But, I mean, the Packers are moving on from him for a reason, you know. Maybe you can make the claim or make the sense contractually for the swap. I just think the players don't make a whole lot of sense when it comes to where they are in their careers. Jair, 4 years now, he's been dealing with different types of injuries. Certainly hasn't played a whole hell of a lot of football in the last two seasons. Maybe there's a case to be made. And like you said, I know Bukowski's been ranting about it, but I don't see it. That's just me. That's just how I roll. Dennis, how are you, man? Now that the combine is done, who surprised you the most and who disappointed you the most? No disappointments. I mean, it's just, I've said this a lot this past week. It's just data collection. You know, there's no disappointment as far as, you know, oh, I thought he'd do better. You know, these guys will put whatever numbers on a spreadsheet consummate to their workouts on the turf there at the RCA Dome. But yeah, I don't know, man. No one disappointed me. there may be a case to be made for Noel Williams, quote, disappointing me, only because he didn't really end up falling within the Packers' traditional thresholds, where I really love his tape and I love his game, a cornerback from Cal, for those of you who don't know the name. So that was a disappointment, but he didn't disappoint me, to use your phrase. Tonezilla, what's up? What draft crush will break your heart in 2025? Oh, it's got to be Higgins, the Iowa State wide receiver. I'm just so excited for the possibility of him landing in green and gold, and I know he's not going to, because especially after last week, I think there's just – it's highly unlikely that he just lands in Green Bay's lap in the second round, which is where they would need to take him, because they ain't taking him in the first round. So I'm ready. What the scene from Say Anything? I want to get hurt. That's where I'm at. I'm fully ready. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Just imagine the crowd explosion at the draft if the Packers trade up in the draft this year. I actually think Goody is going to trade up for a pass rusher this year. Maybe Mike Green. Ooh, Mike Green feels light to me as far as what the Packers are looking for at the edge. Maybe. I mean, never say never. I mean, we've sat here for years saying they don't value inside linebacker. They're never going to take an inside linebacker in the first round. And then they took Quay Walker, which was an absolute shock. So maybe they shock us. But Mike Green seems like a long shot. The idea of trading up, yeah, that is a possibility. No question about it. You can never say never. Although I will say, in a draft where, and thank you to those of you, I think there was one person in particular whose name I can't remember right now, on the YouTube comments corrected me. Packers have 7 draft choices, which should turn into 8 after the compensatory picks are announced. The Packers are expected to get a 7th for losing Josh Nyman. I had said they had 8 going on 9. Total brain fart on my part. So thank you in the comments. Which, you know what? Bless you all in the comments. I have to say, you can be argumentative and you can be dismissive and you can be mean just like everywhere else on the internet, but you are at least, for the most part, keeping it to football. And I really appreciate that, because God knows that is not the case on most platforms. So shout out YouTube comments. But yes, in a year where they only have 7 selections, hopefully 8 will be 8 by the time the draft rolls around. Man, Gutekunst, Mr. He wants all the competition possible, trading up and losing some of those picks in doing so, even if they're like future picks. I don't know. That seems unlikely. But again, it only takes him falling in love with one prospect and thinking that that guy is the difference, right, at whatever he does and however he fits. So I'm not going to say never happen, but I'll be very surprised if it does. Corey, thanks for the super chat, man. Nice setup behind you, Nags. Do you see Goody taking back to get more picks in the draft, trading back? 7 just doesn't seem enough for Goody, Random Packer, Bill Schrader. Corey, it's like you read my mind as I was going on that answer there to Mike Witt. Yeah, I think that's much more likely. Especially with his joke in our local session where Spofford was saying, you know, you have fewer picks than usual heading into this draft. And then Goody cut him off and said, yet, you know, so I do think there's definitely a chance. Goot, we trust. John, see, you're the one. Good to see you here. Welcome. All right, everybody, I'm gonna have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.